I wanted to just tell you about this couple real quick, and then they're gonna share here. But they're amazing, and we of course met Hannah at the Prophetic Pursuit a couple years ago, and she spoke, and it was just so powerful. And then there were several of us that went down. They have a Generation Unite conference every year for 20 years in Quebec, and I gotta admit, I will never be able to outdo Joel in his introductions of guest speakers. They had a whole video clips of, you know, all through the years. And I won't even get into it, but it's like it's really exciting, almost like WWE, you know. Anyway, so I can't do that for you today. But they're an amazing couple. I should try. Okay, maybe. So they run Generation Unite. They train up young adults, I think 100 in your school right now. It's online, and then they have gatherings, right, as well. They go around the province. They connect with churches and leaders. They bring them together. They're doing a significant work in an area of the world that is probably the most secular place in the planet. It's less than 1% Christian. So in our country, it's an unreached people group, really. And so they are there, and there's a bridge being built between them and us and the rest of Canada, and they are good bridge builders. I don't want to say much more. They need to talk. Let's give it up, a big welcome to Joel and Hannah Dubade. That's what he would do. Not quite as good, but
yeah. Good job. It's a good first start.
Podium. I'm like, yes. Thank you. I think behind that wall was where. It was.
There's a table over there. I don't know if it's usable.
Oh yeah.
There's a.
That'd be perfect.
That'll be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Shay. Yeah. All right. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Is it okay if I were to ask you guys to come and join us over here? Thank you. I know it's like, Anatoly, don't try sitting there.
You're late, Anatoly. You're late.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Just will make us, bring us together.
We feel like we need to wait for the table. I don't know why. I cannot start without the table. Wow. Well, nice to meet you. I don't know if we should stay in the center or move a bit this way. Like, there's more people here. Nice to meet you. You realize fast that English is not my first language. I'm sorry about that. It's my second language. French is my first language. So I have a disclaimer all the time. I'll do it tonight also. I don't pronounce the H sound, all right? So if I say air, probably meant hair, all right? Okay. So put a H where there's no H and drop a H where there's not supposed to be H, and probably you understand my English better, all right? But she's perfectly bilingual.
I was going to say my first language too is French.
Yes.
But you know.
You're perfectly bilingual. You have no accent.
Exactly.
I keep mine just to remind me people.
Remind people.
Well, they ask us to speak about what we're doing. It's an honor to be with you guys, to meet you all. We've been blessed to you met them before me. It's rare that you meet people before me. You got friends. Yet, but Joel and Anatoly and Pastor Ian, you met them before me. And so it was my first time this summer to travel with Pastor Joel and Anatoly to go to Uganda, to Tanzania. And it was a blessing and an honor. And we became friends with those people. So it's, for us, it's a start of a journey to walk with Life Links. And we know it's a friendship in the Lord. You know, there's kind of friendship that you meet people for the first time and you know it's the Lord. Plus that they play golf. So when someone plays golf, you know already there's something brewing in the spirit, you know, because there's anointing on pastors that plays golf. And what do you want to add to it?
I just want to start by saying, well, first of all, thank you for giving us this opportunity. It is a real privilege. It's an honor.
Yes.
It's so fun to bring our anointing side by side. And the summer in Uganda was just crazy. In Tanzania, it was just an incredible opportunity to learn from Joel, from Anatoly, but even from the people in that nation and receive that portion. And there's such a great need. And you'll see that as we talk about Quebec. Just everything that we can grasp and take, even from you guys this weekend, hopefully you're generous with the anointing that's on your lives, but we want to bring it back to Quebec. We need it. We need one another. And first, I just do want to introduce to you my family, which is my pride and joy. So I don't know if, Isaac, you got the... Yes. Okay, so this is our latest. We have to take yearly or whenever we can family pictures. My daughter, so this is us, the first girl there. So there's Joel, me, my daughter Catherine with her husband Calvin, and they live in Alaska. So when they come down, we take a family picture. And then you have my first grandbaby, Noah, and Bethany, my daughter-in-law, with my son, Jeffrey. And then my other daughter, Emily, with her husband, and my second grandbaby, Amelia. What you don't know, there's also two other babies in this picture. Catherine is pregnant here, and so is Bethany. So we are grandparents since December 26th of two and soon to be four grandbabies. And for those of you who know, you know. But grandkids are just almost like the reward for having raised your kids. It's just like my daughter thinks that she's lost her priority in my life. And
she is.
Do not tell her. Don't. This can't get to her ears. But my grandbabies are just such a joy, and they are a reward. So this is our family. And what is the biggest pleasure and honor is doing ministry together. I think Pastor Dave can probably vouch for that, because doing ministry with your kids is such a privilege. So when we did our last conference, Jeff is at the at the drums. Bethany, Catherine, Emily were all in the worship team at some moment,
leaders,
at some time.
Yeah. What? Worship leaders.
They were worship leaders. Matthew is our maître par excellence. I'm going to say master, DM. He manages our whole band. He also is on our staff, but he's just incredible. Great son-in-law. And Calvin was doing all the videography, photography. So we really come into... Even when we do ministry, even when we go on missions trips, they come with us, babies and all, which I'm so proud of them. They're like, we're not going to let children stop us from serving Jesus. And I just love that. So so this is the first thing you need to know about Quebec is this. This is honestly a sign and a wonder and a testimony to what God is doing. Because if he can do it in our family, and if you can see Jesus in this, I mean, this is what he's doing. This is God's economy, right? This is the government of heaven is family. And when we're able to be good parents and raise them and push them into their destinies, even if it looks different than us, and then be good grandparents and love on those grandbabies, I'm telling you, this is what we're supposed to be doing as mothers and fathers in the Lord, as much as in our own families. So there you go. That's why I have to start with a first step. That Amen. Was my job Amen. Is done. No, I'm just Amen. Kidding.
Proud mom here. Proud mom. Well, it's an honor and privilege, and it speaks a lot to Quebec that a family can work together for ministry. And you guys, it's such an honor that you guys are here to hear us talk about Quebec. I don't know what's your relationship with Quebec. I don't know what's the relationship sometimes of the rest of Canada with Quebec. But like Pastor Ian said, it's an unreached group. It's a secular, it's a post-Catholic place. And but it's the right place where God wants to move when a land is right there in their history. And just to give you a quick history of what we're doing, It's written co-founders of Generation Unite. Actually, 20 years ago, I had a big burnout. And I could not do anything. I was a youth pastor. I was driving school buses, 5 a.m. in the morning. We had 3 young kids, and I went in a big burnout. And the Lord restored me fully in 1 month, just listening to worship. I could not do anything. I come back when my bus run, could not prepare a sermon, could not call a kid, could not do anything. Laying down on the sofa, sleeping all day until my second bus run, but sleeping while putting worship. Only thing I could do. Could not even pray. Could not even pray in tongue. Was just laying down in the spirit, listening to worship. And the Lord restored me in 1 month. And you need to know that my mom have been on depression for all her life. So the devil was really telling me at 30 years old, that's your turn, that's your time, it's genetic, it's going to be your life for all the rest of your life. And the Lord restored me in 1 month. At the end of that month, he told me, gather the province of Quebec to pray for revival. And at the weakest moment of my life, the Lord gave me the sentence that I've been leading our life for the past 20 years. So we started something called Generation Unite with kids. We were coming, bringing 400, 500 kids to pray for revival. Just to pray, not even having a showdown or anything. People. They were just coming to pray for a full day, to pray for revival. And that's what the Lord brought fire, because you need to know that in Quebec, after the Toronto blessing, since there, maybe you don't realize it, but there's a language barrier between French and English. I don't know if you realize it. Who speak fluent French in this place? All right. So it's most of us in Quebec did not understood what's happening, no relationship with what's happening. So most of Quebec refused the move of the Spirit at that time. But us, we were touched in that revival at 18, 17, we received our call. So we really felt a burden from the Lord to walk in the Spirit in a wise way, so Quebec can come back to the move of the Spirit. Because we really threw the baby with the
baby out with the bathwater.
With the bathwater, that's how you say it? Wow, I'm good. Keep it up. And I know English expression. but we really felt, even at 20, 21, we were doing youth conference and introducing a healthy way to walk with the Holy Spirit so Quebec won't reject us but come back to healing, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were not even talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit anymore because we were scared of tongues or manifestation. So we went very, very scared of all those things, but the Lord really put a grace on us to say, hey, bring back, not because we own that, we don't own that, but just to speak of those subjects that Quebec is scared, so we come back to a life of the Spirit, which is LT, powerful, that changed life and brings fruit. So we've done that for the past 20 years, but 4 years ago, in the middle of COVID, the Lord told us to release our church. We had a great church. We have the best church in Quebec, in my mind. But the Lord told us to go and live by faith. You need to know there's no itinerant ministry in Quebec. There's none. Maybe two others, but they sing better than me and they sell CDs. I don't sell CDs. We don't sell CDs. But we really took a step of faith that's contrary to our culture. Most of the people that tried, they not went more than 1 year. Even our best friends were telling us, we're wondering how long you're gonna last. Joel, I'm sure you're saying, Joel, if you have friends like that, you don't need enemies, you know? And, but the Lord's been faithful for the last 4 years, and we're shifting the poverty mindset in Quebec, because there's a real poverty mindset in Quebec. There's two strongholds in Quebec, poverty mindset and religious mindset, that we need to fight very strong, even in the church, even in the Christian church. And we've been doing this for the last 4 years. So what we were doing with 10% of our time as senior leaders, now we can put 100% of our time to run after revival for the province of Quebec. And that's an honor and a privilege and a blessing.
So let me just tell you, I've begun to understand just over the last 4 years, actually, the divide between Quebec and the rest of English Canada. And Joe mentioned the language barrier, which is an obvious one, and yet even there, we don't actually realize that Quebec relates more to France than it does to English Canada. It's because there's no understanding. The other thing is a lot of our media, it does not talk about the rest of Canada. Well, all French media speaks of Quebec only. And if it talks about the rest of Canada, it's because there's a Quebecer in that region that something happened to it. So there, what we began to realize 4 years ago was, first of all, that God wanted to unite this nation. And that, again, sometimes you need to stop looking for signs in the heavens and realize that things like our family or even our marriage is called to be a sign to the nation. And what the Lord started speaking to us was, because I was raised, yes, in an English home, it took me a long time to admit that, being in a French society, I was looked down on when I spoke in English, and yet I was raised in French. And so for me to admit I'm more English than French was really a challenge. But then the Lord said, but I chose you to be English with this Quebecer, French-speaking Quebecer, and so that you can actually be a sign to Quebecers and to Canadians. Okay, no, don't misunderstand me here, but to Quebecers and to English Canada, that God is bringing a unity. God is bringing communication. God is bringing clarification. And so 4 years ago, we stepped into Alberta for the first time, and then BC, and then Saskatchewan. And this year is our first time in Manitoba. Woo-hoo. It's really a privilege.
Jets land.
Eastern Canada, we've actually been to, you know, and crossed over. But Western Canada, it was our first time. And we began to understand the hurt that was caused by many of the decisions made in Quebec to the rest of Canada. And suddenly, I mean, the Lord actually put it on our heart on so many occasions just to repent for Quebecers. Take the place of, like Jeremiah did for his nation, but to stand in that gap and say, we repent for how we've treated you and how the decisions that were made. And we've seen such a movement of healing over the nation. We've been to smaller villages, cities in Alberta or even in BC, and we've just seen God bring restoration and restore the desire for unity. Because God wants to unite our nation.
Yeah.
He wants to allow the oil to flow from sea to sea. And that is a God strategy. That is a God strategy. So over the years, one of the things that the Lord has allowed us to do was, I'm going to say, when Joe had his burnout and the Lord told him to gather the young people to pray for revival.
Are you moving on from the bridge, or can I add something?
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. Right. Go for it, babe.
No worries. I forgot what I wanted to say.
Well, I was talking about from sea to sea,
yeah,
bringing unity.
I just want to keep on the bridge as, yes, we did not realize how much Quebec decisions, because we don't, the fact that we don't speak the same language, we don't understand each other well. And like Hannah said, since we speak another language, we need to have own media or own actors or own TV shows. No, we have, it's reverse the table. Manitoba is the only English province in all of North America. The states speak French. Trump speaks French. The rest of Canada speaks French. Just reverse the table. And Manitoba is the only English place in all of North America. For sure, keeping your culture will be a priority. Keeping your language will be a priority. You're the only place related to England, and all the other, even the states, are related to a French nation. reversing the table make us understand that, yes, we have a different mindset. We have a different language. But in the church, we're the same kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. In the kingdom, there's only one culture. There's many ethnicities in the kingdom, but there's only one culture. You know, we have people from Zambia. Come on, Zambia. I like those words. And we have people from Uganda. Different ethnicities. But in the church, we're the same kingdom. And that's what the Lord put us at heart when he gave us, because he gave us a dream, both of us at the same time, that Quebec and Western Canada, there was, you know, the San Francisco Bridge, you know that bridge, there's two big pillars, you know, and then it goes from one side to the other side. And that Quebec and Western Canada were those two pillars that need to work together. And if there's something in the natural, not something, but people maybe in the natural in Canada, we don't see eye to eye. It's between Quebec and Western Canada. But that's the natural. But in the kingdom, there should be no political divide. There should be no mindset divide, because we have one culture, and it's not Quebec culture, and it's not Western Canada culture. It's the kingdom culture. So that's why we need to work together for this nation. And we need to sit with each other. You guys need to sit. I'm so sad sometimes. Everyone almost that came to Quebec once in their lifetime says to me, "We were rejected. They did not serve us well." Or, yes, they don't speak English. They don't want to speak English at all. It's not that they don't want. They just don't know how to speak English, especially in a little joint restaurant in the middle of nowhere, you know. But that's the natural. But in the kingdom, in the church, please let us, not the political or the mindset or the culture, divide us, because we have one culture, and it's the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom is bigger than Quebec culture. The kingdom culture is bigger than the Western culture. It should invest our culture and change our culture. So that's why, as Christian in Canada, we need to work together. We need to sit down together and need to learn each other about each other. And when we understand, that's when you love. You agree with that? When you understand, when you don't understand, you tend to fear someone else. But when you understand their story, where they come from, what happened in their life, what comes? Love, compassion, and desires to walk with those people. So that's why we're here. That's why we're so blessed and honored. You know, I never thought as a little French Quebecer in a small town, you know, that you need to push away the corn to find, you know, that I'll be teaching or talking with people in Manitoba. But that's the Lord, and that's the bridge. I believe there's a bridge of unity in the culture of kingdom that's being built in Canada between French and English. And we need to hold that very strong, because that's how God going to change our nation.
And if I can say this, Quebec has a big population. But if you remember what Pastor Ian said, we're less than 1% Christians. That's 80,000 Christians in Quebec. And actually, most of those Christians are dispersed. It's increasing, probably more because of the charismatic Africans, which are immigrating to Quebec. That's the increase. But the Quebecers do not know Jesus. And the pastors and leaders that are all over our province, they need you. They need you. When you're frustrated with Quebecers, understand that that French pastor that's in Abitibi is praying that the rest of Canada pray for him and with him. Do you understand that? The other 8 million are annoying, even to us sometimes. I'm not kidding. But the 80,000 Christians are your brothers and sisters that don't speak the same language but are standing for your nation. They are standing for Canada. They are fighting on the same front line as you are. So when Joe says we're building a bridge, those are the ones you need to see. Those are the ones you need to be praying for and praying with. And those are the ones that We're here to say, hey, we need you guys.
Yeah.
We know we can't do it without you. The sparsity of Christians and being so dispersed, and this is where our calling comes from. The Lord said to us, translate what I'm doing in the rest of the world and bring it to the French. And it started with Quebec, and yes, I know the Lord is actually multiplying that to other French nations, and that's a privilege. But my home place is where I don't have time to translate books. But I can bring in, and God has graced us with these amazing speakers like Leif Hetland to come and translate what he's carrying so that the French speaking can grasp it and actually catch up to the English speaking.
Yeah.
And they can actually become as mature spiritually as the English. And that's one of the things that we have been working on, Generation Unite. That's what we do. Whether it's going on missions trips, we bring resources. We do bring books. We have translated some materials, but we bring specifically keys and teachings that we'll meet with Joel, and we find out what he's carrying, or Ian, and discover what he's carrying and bring it. And I don't really care that his message, it's his message, and I'm the one that's going to preach it, but I can preach it in the language that they can grasp it. And that is so important, to see the church expand, to see those pastors and leaders begin to do church differently and bring revelation differently.
You need to realize that spiritually, if I can say like that, maybe Quebec and French nation are maybe 15 years behind English nations. Why? Even we were in Africa and they told us, the French nations in Africa have so much less missionaries or resources than English nations. Why? Because most of the culture is in English right now. And the leadership books, the spiritual books, before they're being translated so the French people can read it, it's 7 years, 10 years, if they're translated, if they are. So for 100 books in English that you guys have access to knowledge or learning skills, we have 5 in French. And most of them are dated from 1980, you know? So we're 15 years behind spiritually, but we're probably 10 to 15 years badly in front with secularism.
Secularism, yeah.
Do I say the word?
Secularism. Well,
secularism. That's good. Liberalism is very hard for a French person. And we are in a battle in Quebec right now. I don't know if you hear the news. I don't know if you have news from Quebec in English Canada, but they want to bring a new bill in the next month. Actually, there's been a commission with 50 new recommendation to enlarge the secularism bill that's existing already in Quebec. And that enlargement of secularism is way too a bad reach, to the point that a doctor cannot even have his own
right
of conscience if he doesn't want to bring, help to death. I don't know how you say that.
Or abortion
or whatever. He cannot even think by himself. He needs to abide by the law that will be put in place. They actually want to stop prayer in the street right now, mostly based on Muslim protestation right now. But you need to know, like Hannah said, and this is very true, and you guys need to understand, we take our model more from France than from the rest of English Canada. That you need to grab that as the other part of our nation. Because we speak the same language, and actually it's our cousin. We've been born from them, you know. So even in COVID, our standards was not the rest of Canada. Our standard was France, you know. And actually France have a big problem with secularism right now, and they accept it so much, and Muslim is taking a big part of France right now. So Quebec is afraid to become friends this way, so they want to push back. But if they push back in this way, then they're killing the church. They want to take out the tax
receipts for tax for charity.
And I know it's already a talk for Canada. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's a talk. But now it's in Quebec, like I said, we're 10, 15 years before the rest of Canada concerning secularism. So there's a fight for freedom of religion right now in Quebec, that if that bill passed, most of our leaders say half of our church will close because they cannot afford taxes. Most of the church in Quebec cannot afford paying their pastor. So imagine paying $200,000, $300,000 now of taxes for the building. Most of the church will close down.
So this is where we need you. And this is like beginning of November. They're presenting, it's called Bill 1 in Quebec. And they're using in the Charter of Rights, the notwithstanding clause, which hasn't been used over the last 100 years, hardly at all. But they're using that clause to actually bypass and legalize certain rights, religious rights, and even individual rights. And so what I've heard some of Western Canada or English Canada say, well, if that's what Quebec wants, let them have it. But that's not what the church wants. We need you. Do you understand that? You see Quebec as a whole. Don't. See the body of Christ in Quebec that actually needs the rest of Canada to rally alongside it. It's only for Quebec. It's only a law that would, and they're building this law so that future governments will not be able to overturn it, at least easily. So we need your alignment. And this is where we come into the strategies that God has given us. And even over the last 20 years, I'll be very honest with you. Our strategies aren't the regular thing. Jesus tells us to do something and we do it. The first thing that the Lord told Joe was to gather the young people. We had just been kicked out of the PAOC at that time because we were too exuberant with the Holy Spirit, and we had as young youth leaders, we were 20, 21, just been married. We're like, okay, what do we do? No internet at that time. You guys will remember those good days. So we just took the phone book and looked up all the churches that we could find on the South Shore and in Montreal and as far as we could find, and we sent them letters by mail saying, we're doing a youth rally at this camp. Do you want to come to call us? And we got 85 young people. We started there. 85 young people from all over the South Shore, and then it grew. And then that first gathering was 300. 300 that we believed would change the face of Quebec. And again, nobody asked us to do this. It was just what the Lord had asked us to do. And throughout the years, this is the thing. And if I can tell you guys, don't do what the other church is doing. That's not the strategy for your church. Don't do what is the popular thing or even what's on TV or it worked for him. Look, he's got a big church. Do what God is calling you to do in your place, in your location. And that is for everything that we have been doing over the last 20 years. It was one step of faith after another. And I mean, I don't know if you want to jump in with a couple testimonies or even what we've been doing with the pastors and leaders, but it's just been incredible to see God, how he's been moving and how it's not. I'll just give this one strategy. We're not a wealthy organization. Okay. I mean, we don't have a million in the bank account. So, but everything that we have, the Lord has given us. We determined, we knew that there's a spirit of poverty over Quebec. So we determined we would be the most generous organization possible. That whoever we had, we would love on them well. Not to flex. It has nothing to do about us. But to show them, to show the world that we our funds is not my bank account, but it's my kingdom account. And so we'll bring them to the best places. We'll treat them like you don't have any idea. Like we want to love on them well, but not just guess. I mean, you might say, I guess, of course, you know. But when I go to 10 hours up north, Abitibi, or to, we were just 2 weekends ago, we were in Dolbeau. It's a 6-hour drive from Montreal. We are with this small church, and we're loving on them. We're bringing them gifts. We're cherishing them. We want no honorarium. That's not the point. Is how can I come alongside you and love on you? That's the strategy of Jesus. Now, when we come back home and we do the finances, because that's another one of my hats is accounting. So, and I'm like, oh Lord, okay, these are your children. You pay for this. And it does cost. I mean, there's a cost. Am I being unwise? No. I'm investing in kingdom soil. And I'm following I'm breaking the spirit of poverty over my nation. And I know that my seed is doing that. I realize that.
When I asked the Lord, when we released church, the biggest struggle was financial. It says, okay, I have security as being a pastor. You know, I'm paid. And I know that nobody live out of itinerant ministry in Quebec, you know, or if they try, 1 year later, they're done, you know. And but I ask the Lord, never I will beg for an invitation to survive. Never. I won't do that. I will never call a church, say, I need to eat this week, and you invite me for Sunday, you know. I won't go there, Lord. You provide, or I'm going back to the buses. I don't know. I said, Lord, I want you to provide so well to us that we're a blessing when we go somewhere. I'm not coming because I need to survive. I'm coming because I want to bring books. I want to pay your meal, even if you think you should pay mine. I'm going to pay your meal. I want to be a blessing. I want to leave a sowing in your church, because that's how we honor other leaders. Anyway, that's what we thought. And that's how in Quebec we were able to bring so many people together, because we know in Quebec, if they smell the idea that you want to use them, all right?
You have an ulterior motive.
If you have an ulterior motive, they don't want to do anything with you. So I said, we'll do the contrary. I'll come to you, and you feel so blessed, so loved, and I don't need anything. But Lord, you provide on that side, because I cannot do that if you don't provide on that side. But I won't never beg to do ministry in Quebec. So that's why we feel the Lord is breaking that spirit of, and then they're saying it. So our friends are calling us, say, all guys are doing, because we need to, the Lord is asking us to leave our pastoral role. We need to step in faith. How you do that? I told them, you need to give. If you don't give and you live by keeping what you have, the Lord will never bring back in your hand. That's a miracle of
the multiplication.
I have a limit of English words, all right? At one point, my brain wants to talk faster than my mouth, all right? That's the miracle of the multiplication. If they did not give away the bread, God could not put back in their hand. And we see so much joy and fun to go to places, because we don't go us needed to go. We go there because we know the Lord is sending us there. So we go there on assignment and not on need of invitation. Does it make sense?
Most of them were not invited. Yeah. Most places were not invited.
And most of them, we go on our own bill.
We go on our own bill. We call them up. We say, we're coming to your area. How can we bless you? Even if it's just take you out for a meal, how can we bless you? And if you do need us, because a lot of those regions don't have the relay pastor to just, you know, we're willing to preach on a Sunday or do worship on a Sunday. That is, if some of the team come with us. But our heart is, we're going. And if we just set the table to say, we're coming in your area. Can we just have a meal? Do you need us on a Sunday morning? Is there something else we can do to serve you? We can train. If you want, we'll train your leaders. And can I testify about Picogan? Mm-hmm. So lately, one of our heartbeats is the First Nations. We just love them so much, because if we think we feel isolated, they are even more so. And so we went to Abitibi. I don't know. Does anybody know where Abitibi is? No? It's about, from Montreal, 8 to 10 hours. It's in that slot. And so we went to Abitibi. There's about 8 churches in that area that are each an hour a distance from each other. But we try to bring a team. We did bring a team that week, that time. That was a couple, in August of this week. We were able to, I say, hit 8 churches on a Sunday, which is just fun. Because our son-in-law, we send him to preach and do worship in one place. I went to preach at one place. He goes to preach at another place. Just to love on the churches and bring the word of the Lord. Remind them of their destiny. Remind them of God's intentions on them. If they're in a season of discouragement, and I'm going to tell you, the word I brought that one Sunday, it was like, Moses is dead. It's time to go into the promised land. And I'm like, Jesus, what is this? But then the church is like, yes, how did you know? That's the season we're in. It's just fun to align with God. But we went to do camp meetings with the First Nations. It's the Algonquin and the Cree. We told our friends, one is the vice chief of the community, and the other his wife, and they're also the pastors of that church. And so we said, we're coming, how can we serve? And they said, well, we're doing camp meetings, would you, your band, do worship, and would you come and preach? And we said, of course. And we're always very attentive to what Holy Spirit is doing in a region and what the spiritual atmosphere is. And so the Lord started showing me, I had a dream, and in the dream I could see these First Nations women. And I was praying for their ovaries, and one after the other, and I could see that their ovaries were infested. I could see there was an infestation, and I'm like, Jesus, what is this? So that's the first night. The second night, again, I have this dream repetitively, and different women all night long. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and the Lord tells me, it's a spirit of violation. I'm like, oh, what do I do with that? You know, how do you address that without humiliating a person or exposing a person? And the Lord said, it's over all the women and over the whole community. I'm like, okay, that's even worse. Now what do I do? So I share this with Joe, and Joe says, Hannah, we have to do something. If the Lord showed it, it's a strategy. So I sat down with my friend, my pastor friend, and I said, guys, I had this dream, and I believe the Lord wants to bring a deliverance and bring deliverance of this spirit of violation. And the woman started weeping. And she said, Hannah, every woman in this community has been raped. Everyone. There's not a woman. And she said, probably up to our 12-year-olds. And I said, okay, Lord, how do I do this? And she said, I don't want to, I mean, understand here. This is a white person, French, that has persecuted them in the past, that is coming in with the solution. You know, like, who am I? And that's not how I want to come in. And the Lord has really taught us the strategy of honor and humility. And so, very low, I opened this conversation, and the Lord gave me the strategy. He said, we're going to pray for all the women. My team that was there, there were some Africans that were there, and all the First Nations that are there. All the women, we're going to break this off of them. It's going to be for the communities. And we're going to have the men declare over them and repent to them. All the men. So it wasn't one woman or one. Well, there was such a mass deliverance immediately. Joel, I mean, it was African style as I've never seen in Quebec. It was incredible. We started seeing these young women of 14, 15 start weeping and screaming and bending over, but at the same time, the father start praying and repenting for what had happened to them. Without their knowledge, with their knowledge, with them not being able to protect them having done it, it didn't make a difference. But suddenly, the atmosphere shifted. I had women that were 80 years old come to see me and say, finally, someone addressed it. I had women from other communities up north in Ontario that had come for the camp meetings and said, would you come into our community as well to bring this word of the Lord, because it's the same for us? And I was able to tell them, you are a represent, you are a sign of what God is doing in the First Nations communities. So what you went through today wasn't just you, but this was a corporate deliverance. This was something that God is doing presently. So bring it back to your First Nation. You release it over your community. And I'm telling you, that community, and even now we had words from the pastor saying, it's a changed community. Something has shifted. Something is different. We're only now beginning to see and understand that that spirit has lifted. So that's a missions trip. That's Jesus. That's what he's doing in Quebec. And when we went there, you don't know. I mean, you go there saying yes and willing, but God is shifting things one pastor, one leader, one church, one community at a time. And it's changing our province, and it is changing our nation.
Amen. If you don't realize by my wife's testimony, she has a prophetic edge to her life. But it's important, because when we go to places, we need to shift the atmosphere. Mm. We need to shift whatever has been buying, whatever. We've did so much to our conference, afternoon of prayers to reverse stuff that have been declared over Quebec and stuff like that, because we need to dislodge where the enemy took ground. And our role is, yes, to see people saved, but one of our roles is to shift the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere of wherever we go. So the time is running up, but...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. We're going to do a Q&A in 1 minute. Did you have a last word you wanted to say?
Well, we did not say everything that we do, but in a nutshell.
Just a sec. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just a second.
No, you go ahead.
In a nutshell, what we do, we have a pastors network of over 100 pastors, and it's only organical. It's not a denomination. Organic? Organical is not a word. Felt good when saying it. Organical. Botanical, organical. Come on, guys. So it's very organic. It's friendship. We do retreats. We do gatherings, and that's where we invest in them. We don't charge. We do it. We pay for it. We want them to be blessed. The other thing, we started a school of ministry. We've trained over 1,000 people in the last 3 years to the school, 300 full-time, and more than 1,000 just maybe for one Saturday or stuff like that. And you need to know there's only one school, our school in Quebec. Yeah, yes, there's theological school, POC, Pentecostal Baptist Theological, but there's no school of ministry to teach us what the Lord asked us to do, like preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cast out demon, prophesy. That's what we train. We want to train everyone, every Christian.
And the school is impacting. We have students from Madagascar, French Madagascar. Well, Madagascar is French. And we have students in Togo. We have students in France and in Switzerland. And we're seeing that this is not just for Quebec French, but it is for the French-speaking nations. And that's encouraging as well.
We have, every year, we have a big gathering. We have blessed to have Joel and Ian there this past September. Every year we gather the province of Quebec to go after Jesus. It's not about the guests. It's not about us. It's not about putting something very good and very great. It's about one thing. I'm going to talk about that tonight, but it's about his presence and running after him. And those are the best. Joel can testimony himself of that weekend, but I invite all of you to come and worship. We worship in English and in French. Everything is bilingual because there were at least 40 to 50 leaders and pastors from Alberta, from Saskatchewan in our conference. We want a bridge. And if you guys come worship on our turf, then we become one voice. That's incredible. So that's what we do. What else do we do, baby?
That's not important. But what I want to tell you guys,
it's not, seriously,
if you followed, you would see the different things that are being done. But if I can say this one thing and overflow that, you know, like transfer this, I don't know how to say it. Everything that has been done because the Lord gave a strategy. For the network, for the pastors, when the Lord told us to be the Aaron and Ur of the Moseses of different churches in different regions, it's coming alongside them. It's that humble posture of saying, how can I serve? The school of ministry, the missions trips, the every aspect of our ministry is a strategy from God that our team goes, oh dear, and how are we going to do this? But every time God comes through. And if I can encourage you, one, you might say, are you winning souls? We do win souls every year. Okay, so understand me. But I can go in, win 100 to 1,000 people, I leave, and who's going to take care of them? Or I can go in and strengthen those that are there, encourage them to continue because they're tired, and they win the souls. I give the resources, and there's kingdom is growing in that area. What I'm saying is take hold of the strategy God has for your life, for your church, and for your province, because God has a strategy which is totally different from man-made. He wants us out of the man structures. Come on. It's time we start thinking kingdom and seeing a little bit higher, seeing how God, what he's doing in the heavens. And it looks weird. It better look weird, because if God's structures look like ours, oof, right? All right, so that was my last word. Q&A?
That was a great last word.
Pastor Ian, how much time do we have left?
We have 5 minutes.
But we started late.
Wow.
So that,
Thank
I appreciate
you very
your
much.
Generosity.
You.
That's very kind.
American time or Canadian time?
American time?
American time or Canadian
it's
time?
Because
it's 1.4. About African time.
I
take that any day long. Yes.
All
well,
right.
Last word on my part. If in any way French Canada hurt you, if in any way we did stuff that you guys did not understand by decisions, by laws or whatever, please forgive us. I cannot ask forgiveness for all the Quebec and promise that it will change because I'm not the prime minister. But as Christian, I want to make sure we walk on the same line. As Christian, we walk on the same page and that we become a bridge and we become a team for all of Canada. Because Canada is a nice country, it's a beautiful country, it's awesome people. And for me to meet all of you is an honor and a privilege and a grace from the Lord. And I pray that if there's something somewhere in one of your heart, it'll be taken away. And please, please forgive us and please let us move on and don't stay in the hurts of the past and move in the kingdom mindset from the rest of Canada and the Church of Canada. Amen. Do you guys have any questions? Wow, one, two. All right, I love that. Yes.
Well, first, I just wanted to mention that I grew up in.
Oh.
I grew up. Hello? Yeah. I grew up in Northern Ontario, and there's a lot of French speaking people up there. So, specifically, Joel, your accent reminds me of the home that I left 20 years ago. So, thank you for being you.
I'm happy to be a glad memory.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I guess from what you guys have been talking about, it's a lot of working within churches because recognizing the growth of secular culture in Quebec, the Christian movement in that province is struggling, and a lot of churches are closing their doors. And so what you guys have been talking about is a lot of going to these churches and lifting them up and encouraging them and serving them, which is great. I wondered if there was any more you could tell me about the missions, evangelistic work that you guys do in Quebec, what that looks like, and some of the ways that God's helped you overcome those challenges.
Yeah. You need to know Quebec has been burned by the Catholic Church, you know, and that's why in the 70s, even on the airways, that the artists said, we don't want to do anything with God anymore. So that was big spiritual shift in Quebec. So the best evangelism is being so on fire with God and you have relationship with people. It's hard to do. We cannot even rent a stadium outside anymore. They don't give us space to have church lot, and we cannot buy land anymore in Quebec to put church. So the idea of doing big stuff outside,
public or tent meetings,
and that's why they're going law. Further. But with that law, it says, okay, you can have faith, but keep it in your
house,
in your home. We don't mind you have faith, but keep it in your house. And that won't happen. You know that with Christianity, that does not happen. But the best way for us is to be a light to an individual. And that's why we're training people. That's why we need to train people. So we cannot hide behind a mass crusade. We cannot hide even behind a great speaker, you know, that bring people. In Quebec, when we do evangelism, it's one by one, is shining. So that's why our mindset for us is to train those evangelists, to train those people. So, okay, when you are with one person, you know how to pray, you know how to share the gospel, you need to bring the word, you know, in a simple way. And that's why, and we see a move of God right now. We see a move in the youth. The youth is really turning to the Lord. They're coming to church without even being invited. And that's where we're pretty excited about that right now in our province.
Even with the School of His Presence, so in Joe's program on, which is the leadership program, there's actual days of training techniques for evangelism. And then all the students, it's at lunch for the next 2 hours, let's go do evangelism. So one-on-one, we can. But even there, I mean, you'll see. So we were in the gay part of the Montreal, because the church we had rented was in that area. And I mean, suddenly there's, wait a second, who are these people? And there's a lot of, you know, when the world closes doors, that's where the God strategies are needed. And the God strategy God has given us is train them one by one. So it's no longer my responsibility as a leader to be preaching the gospel, although we do in every place, in every mission that we do. And we see, I'm going to say every year, hundreds come to Jesus. But our goal is that individuals, okay, now you carry it in your sphere. And I'm going to say the Christians in Quebec are fiery Christians. You don't see, we're not very many, but we're passionate about Jesus. And so, but they feel ill-equipped because for years they didn't have the books and all they had was the Bible. And I'm honest with you, our French Bible doesn't always say the same thing as the English Bible. And that's the truth. And sometimes I read through 4 or 5 versions before I actually find a version that says what my ESV version says, so that this is my English Bible. I preach in French with this so that I can actually, because I know this is what the Bible says, but it's really a different mindset. So they haven't had training. So the idea is let's train them. And then this goes back to the pastors that are exhausted and are doing everything and have a full-time job. And they don't have the energy to train their people for evangelism. So we go up and we say, hey, we'll do the training. Let's do a day. Let's go in the city. Let's go in the streets. Let's go in the malls and pray for people, share the gospel, and see your city impacted for Jesus. But it is on a one-on-one individual, like growing that boldness that we have to go.
Yeah. And I'll be maybe weird saying that, but some persecution?
Persecution.
Some persecution is good for the church sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're so comfortable in Canada, and it's the first time now they want a bill. Now there's a big movement this week on the social media of the church coming together.
Jesus.
We started, one of our friends started a campaign called Quebec Libre to Believe. You know, the slogan
Quebec
for Quebec
free.
Is Free Quebec, Quebec Libre, and to Believe. And there's a full social media. The church is coming together because of persecution. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
All denominations. So this is good.
Yeah. Which church actually is the biggest church in all of the world? A Chinese church. This is the fastest growing church in all the world, and they're not allowed to meet. And come on. So and the first church in the Bible grew through what? Persecution. Yeah. So I'm not calling for it, but somewhere the church do better through persecution better, yeah. Because the spirit of the Lord, the compel is bigger when you need to rise up for Christ. Another question? I'm translating myself.
Check. So Alberta boy.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, that means a lot, honestly. Just that repentance. But so in Alberta, we're seeing a divide, like, you know, similar, like when I was growing up, I remember Quebec always wants to separate from Canada.
Yeah.
And so it's a big deal in Alberta right now.
Yeah, it's true.
And so real quick, like what are maybe just like one or two key things that you guys have done to not just unite, I love your heart for uniting the country, but to even just unite your province?
Yeah.
I'll say when we gather our pastors and leaders, this, I don't know if you guys go through this in between believers or not, but the spirit of competition, comparison is constantly there. Language, different denominations, different cultures. Now we're having more and more different cultures just coming from all over the world. And being able to, every time we go in a city, we gather the pastors. We have a breakfast, a brunch. We bring them together. And our heart is, we need to establish kingdom values. And that is honor. That is humility. That is serving one another. That's love. But honor and humility are huge. What causes us to want to be divided? Pride. What causes us to want separation is dishonor. Not seeing the value in the others. And so being able to, every time, to speak to those pastors, and we know some of them, oh my goodness, some of them have been strong separatists. Every once in a while we see that spirit rise up again in them. But to be honest, we're seeing a shift and a desire. And every time we have pastors and leaders come from the rest of Canada, which the last couple years we've had like 40, 50 pastors from BC, Alberta, Ontario come in and just connect pastor to pastor to break the mindset of, no, we don't need separation. Actually, God wants this province to stay in Canada. There is a destiny that God has for Canada that includes Quebec, that includes Alberta. And I was talking with a pastor from BC who said, well, BC wants to be separated too for the longest time. And I'm like, what is it that the devil wants so much to divide our nation? Why? It's because he knows the destiny and intention of God for this nation works when we are one, when we are united. So bringing that message every time, specifically to leaders, I can preach on a Sunday morning to the mass, but the one I really want is the pastor and the leader. Because if he understands the mindset of heaven, then he will pass that on to his church and do the work for me, for God. But you understand what I mean? So that has been our heart, to just bring that. Oh, someone's coming to the front. It's almost like the music at the
doom, doom,
Golden
doom.
Globes. Or...
If I can add to your question, you need to be patient, and you need to be relational. And that relationship is not to take. When we gather our pastors, we never talk about the school. We never talk about what we're doing. We're there solely about them. So we started with four pastors. Now we're more than 100 when we gather. Why? Because every year we said, okay, we started with four. Next year, bring four of your friends that you think the DNA, one of your friends, do you think the DNA, they have the same DNA as us. And you cannot force anybody to be united with you. I don't know if you guys realize you cannot force unity.
But giving a free breakfast helps.
Yes, but you can force your way in unity by loving first and understand. understand. In Quebec, we're so fearful. I don't know in English Canada, but we're so competitive, so fearful of each other. We need to break those down, those wall of decision. And at the end, is because we're the fear of losing. The fear of losing members. Come on, that's so kingdom, you know. So we need to break that. And thank you for that question. It's a very good question. All right, we're done. We love you guys.
I love you. Isn't that awesome? Give another clap.